Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us today. We'll have a fun one coming up today. We got a bunch of fun ones coming up. A bunch of them in a row. We've got Julian Davenport today, right, Sean? Talk about the Senior Bowl.
Yep, he'll be leaving this weekend for Mobile, Alabama. And of course, that game will be a week from next Saturday on the 28th on NFL Network.
Yes, and Phil Savage, in fact, runs that. A very important part of that. And the fact that Phil's involved in it, I mean, I don't know how well you know Phil, just one of the really great guys out there. I mean, really smart. I have a lot of respect for Phil. And he's one of the guys that is one of the organizers of that. Terrific. And then Wayne Larrabee, the play-by-play voice of the Green Bay Packers. Those are the two you lined up today, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got Mike Miller from the Herald Times of Bloomington for the final half hour today to talk about tonight's Penn State-Indiana basketball game. Tomorrow, Dottie Pepper from CBS Sports at 3:35 will talk golf. Tim Kirkshen tomorrow, 4:06. I think that works. And then on Friday, Eli Gold, the play-by-play voice of Alabama. And also,
then,
Rich.
And then Friday at 4:35, notwithstanding.
Oh, yes, my brother. We'll explain. There's a slight complication on Friday, but it I don't think it'll affect the show.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. The basketball teams decided to leave at 1 o'clock on Friday.
Oh! Now, remember off-air last week I asked you? I kind of started to look ahead a little bit.
Well, yeah, but if we're up in the air at 1 o'clock,
sure,
then it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't matter because I'll get to the hotel and I'll just do the show.
Okay. It reminds me of that famous Greg Brady line from the Brady Bunch. Something suddenly came up. His famous break a date line.
Oh, yeah.
Something suddenly came up.
I mean, I should be fine as long as the wheels are up at 1 o'clock like they claim. It's not the trip to West Lafayette, the flight's an hour and 15 minutes? And the airport's right next to everything, so it doesn't take long to get over there. Now, when I'm getting off the bus and I'm throwing players out of the way, get out of the way, I'm on the air!
They're like, oh, there he goes again. Wait, we never seen this out of him before. Wait,
you people don't understand.
Logistics.
I mean, if I got to set that thing up in the lobby, I will. I will set it up in the lobby. So one thing about that thing, as long as you got power, you can set it up anywhere.
And you'll be not too far away from the fresh coffee. So.
No, there is no fresh coffee in those places. That's been sitting there all day, and you know it. That's been sitting there all day,
for some reason,
you know it.
For some reason, fresh came to mind before complimentary coffee.
No. The complimentary coffee, which is there since Monday. We'll take the freebie, or else we'll just go down to Starbucks, one of the two. So that's what we have coming up. And then Rich Ohrenberger is going to join us, the former Nittany Lion, former San Diego Charger. We don't have that one locked down yet, right?
Correct. Yep, we're still going back and forth with Rich. He definitely wants for sure to be on the show. We'll get that together.
And this will be about the move from the Chargers from San Diego to Los Angeles, where they've been warmly received. I thought both fans were very enthusiastic. So
they've already gotten rid of their original logo. How about that? It's already a throwback.
Yeah.
With the Dodger blue and the L.A. with the lightning bolt and the L.
I know. I think we'll change that. But I guess they at the forum in Inglewood today, they had some welcome the team thing, and both the fans were very enthusiastic. So, I'm telling you, this is a league that doesn't care about... I mean, it's a league that does really.
Oh, you made a point of it yesterday. Absolutely.
I don't think that the fans, I don't think, are the number one thought process in this thing. It's all about where can they get revenue. Well, guess where the revenue comes from? Fans. They're the ones that make up the TV ratings, the attendance, buy the seat licenses, buy the luxury suites, buy the parking spaces, everything like that. I think you ought to care about them a little bit more.
Buy the swag. You need to have this swag before the game this Sunday. Get your order in by 2 p.m. today for free two-day shipping.
Sounds like you've already been online.
I was tempted. I was tempted to get a 2-6 jersey for Sunday, but I squashed it.
Oh, you and the suit.
I was
the
close. No, I was close. I was close to getting one, but now I decided not to.
Well, now in college, you can't buy specific player jerseys any longer. You know that? They're trying to avoid anything that, you know, anybody can claim to be
Exclusively theirs.
Yeah, exclusively theirs. Like, for example, all those people bought those 14 jerseys. Oh, okay, well, great. I mean, got a bunch of people wearing 14 jerseys now. And 14s, maybe some of them had them when there was Chuck Fusina and Todd Blackledge, and others got, you know, somebody bought their 12 jersey, and suddenly they went from Kerry Collins and became Michael Robinson. Right now they're wearing him for Chris Godwin and Jordan Smith. I mean, I don't know. It's because it changes all the time. Baseball Hall of Fame vote today, so that's why Tim Kirkjian will be on tomorrow. He's just one of the really cool guys out there. It's the first time we've ever had him on the show. He's probably sitting back confused as to why he's coming on, but you know, we coerced him, so he's going to do it. The other guy we might have next week is Peter King, right?
Yes.
Just became a grandfather, by the way.
Oh, wow.
Yes. I mean, just became a grandfather. So congratulations to him. First time. That's what we have coming up. Boy, a lot of dull shows we're doing.
Sorry about that.
We've got to do something about this. Julian Davenport's going to be fun to talk to. I'm looking forward to that. With all due respect to Wayne, because Wayne's always fun to talk to. One of the really great guys out there. Very few broadcasters better than Wayne Larrivee. Really good. Same thing with Eli Gold coming up on Friday. Eli's really good. And you know what? They're just really good guys. Just really good people. All right. The Hall of Fame vote coming up. Sean and I will go through the Hall of Fame players. Now, you're allowed to vote for 10. We'll probably exceed it and go to 12 here, whatever. But we'll do thumbs up, thumbs down on each guy in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. A brand new Hyundai Elantra from Sunbury Motors Hyundai can be yours for only $215 per month. This is not a lease payment. $215 per month on a brand new Hyundai Elantra with America's best warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors says a 2017 Hyundai Elantra is the absolute best buy for your buck in 2017. Sunbury Motors was voted best car dealership, best quick service, and best body shop. Now add best new compact vehicle with the Hyundai Elantra, and you just made the best decision of 2017. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. There's 34 to choose from, starting at $215 per month, tax and tags extra, at 2.99% APR for 84 months to qualified buyers. Sunbury Motors Hyundai declares 2017 the year of the Elantra. All right, the Hall of Fame voting, and then Tim Kirkjian will be on tomorrow. So Sean and I are going to vote. All right, here we go. Last year, he had 71.6% of the vote. You need 75% to get in. So these are the 15 holdovers. Then we'll talk about the newbies. Jeff Bagwell. Go ahead, Sean. Yes or no?
I say yes.
I'd say yes, too. But here's what bothers me on the Bagwell candidacy. And it's not Bagwell. There's always been swirls of suspicion around him on PEDs. And there's never been one single thing that's ever tied him to PEDs, ever. Just a swirl of suspicion. So, because I'm suspicious, look, you got to have proof on things once in a while, don't you think? Don't you think proof helps? I mean, like guessing. I mean, the suit had a 118% increase in sales. Now, that's proof. Now, you can manipulate the numbers any way you want, you know. The suit made 2 sales 1 month and had 4 the next. He had a 100% increase. Well done. What are you laughing at? Stop laughing. So, Bagwell, definitely in. Yeah, I get a thumbs up. All right, now the tough ones. Barry Bonds.
I think as the years go on, Barry will get a little more increased support, but yep. Not this year.
44% of the vote. He's been on the ballot for 4 years. I've always felt that I would withhold my, if I were to vote for him, I'd withhold for 5. Okay? And Roger Clemens, same thing. He's next, too. He had 45%. But I'm really on the verge of saying yes on both Bonds and Clemens. What do you think? You're still no on both?
I'd probably put Clemens ahead of Bonds as to who would get in first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Trevor Hoffman got 68% last year. Got close.
He ended up with total amount of saves, what, 500?
Yeah.
Plus?
Yep.
Yeah, I say yes.
Here's my issue performance-wise on the save thing. How many times you walk in, get the ball, 3 outs, we're out of here, which is important. It could be a 1-run game, 2-run game, 3-run game. Okay, I got it, you know. But how many times does that happen? Walk in, bases clean. To me, saving the game is you come in, and the dude that gets you out of the second and third and nobody out, that's saving the game. That's a save.
So if he doesn't get in this year, would you probably say either next year or 2019?
Well, I'll tell you, it's getting really clogged up next year and the year after. So I'd seriously think about it. I'm not so sure. He and Lee Smith are two guys I really debate back and forth on. And maybe the problem is Mariano Rivera. Maybe because Rivera was so good, maybe that jades how you feel about other people. So Hoffman, I probably would say yes. Jeff Kent. I say good, not great, not in.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, didn't fear him much as a hit, anything, but I always thought he was good. Edgar Martinez. I say an emphatic yes. I think, you know, DH is a spot on the roster. It is a spot in the lineup. And to me, when he came to the plate against my team, he always worried me. I would vote yes.
I would say if it's between him and Vlad Guerrero, I'd go Rodriguez.
Or Martinez, yeah.
Martinez, sorry.
Well, Vlad Guerrero, I'd vote yes on. We'll get to that in a minute. Yes. Fred McGriff, 7 homers shy of 500, but he only got 20.9% of the vote, and this is his 9th year in the ballot. Boy, he's one of those guys where if I had 15 votes, I'd say yes. If I have 10, I'm not so sure. Mike Mussina, emphatic yes on my part.
Same for me.
I mean, you watch him with the Orioles, you watch him with the Yankees, tough, gritty competitor, made big pitches, big games, big moments. He was a guy that every time he went out to the mound, I always felt against my team. Every time he went to the mound, you thought he could throw a no-hitter. Going into the day, he was a threat to throw a no-hitter every time out. He had that kind of stuff. Great, I thought he was a great pitcher. Tim Raines.
This is last year of eligibility, correct?
Yep. And it, to me, is an absolute yes on Tim Raines.
I would think he would get the most votes this year, wouldn't you think?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Whether he does or not, but I would give him an emphatic yes. I think he's a great, great all-around player. All right, now this one here, okay? When you're voting, to me, you must take the junk out of the equation, okay? I don't care what he tweets. I want to. You have to evaluate him as the player, Curt Schilling. Now, some people can't take what he tweets out of the equation. I can, with complete ease. He's an emphatic yes, because to me, what he did with the Phillies, in combination with Randy Johnson, what he did with the Diamondbacks, and then in combination with what he did with Pedro Martinez with the Red Sox, I'm sorry, that's longevity, and not only that, you know how big I am on postseason. Mike Greenberg is not. I don't think Mike's right about that. I think you've got to figure in what somebody does in postseason, because the lineups are better. They're deeper. There's a reason why these are the best teams in there, because you're not facing teams that have like four great hitters. You've got lineups that are really deep. And he pitched well in the American League with a 1-9 lineup, and he pitched well in the National League, which has a 1-7 lineup.
Yeah, if you just look at what he did postseason, for me, he's one of the most gutsiest pitchers I've ever seen in the postseason.
Yeah. So I'd vote yes. Gary Sheffield.
No, not for me. No.
Lee Smith. No. A lot of saves, but I don't know. Sammy Sosa. No. Is that cork out coming out of that bat? Okay. Billy Wagner. Great fastball, but no. Larry Walker, no. All right, now let's get to the first-timers. Some very intriguing names on the first-time list. Okay, first-time list. Casey Blake, no. Pat Burrell, no. I mean, I can answer for you on some of these. Orlando Cabrera, no. Mike Cameron, no. J.D. Drew, no. Very popular in Philadelphia, though. Carlos Guillen, no. Vladimir Guerrero. I would definitely say yes. You're thinking.
Same with Vlad for me, too.
Okay. Yeah. Derek Lee, no. Melvin Mora, no. Now, here's a guy who's in the category of really good player, but not quite to the Hall of Fame, Maglio Ordóñez. Now, the next one I would not vote on the first ballot, but eventually he'd make it somewhere on my ballot. Jorge Posada. I just really liked him as a player. Maybe not the best defensive catcher in America, but still.
But is there a chance he may not get as many votes as you think?
I don't know. We'll see. He might not. Manny Ramirez. The stats are all over the place. Postseason off the charts. More homers than anybody. Longest postseason hitting streak. Regular season numbers, 555. And all those numbers, two PEDs. Boom. No, I can't vote for him. Edgar Renteria, no. Arthur Rhodes, no. Pudge Rodriguez, absolutely yes. Freddie Sanchez, no. Matt Stairs, no. Jason Veritek, love him, but no. Tim Wakefield, love him, but no. Julian Davenport, next half hour. Senior Bowl coming up for the outstanding offensive lineman for Bucknell. It's big that Bucknell gets a player into this game. Then Wayne Larrabee, play-by-play voice, Green Bay Packers. Final half hour, Mike Miller on Indiana basketball from the Herald Times of Bloomington. Later this week, Dottie Pepper, Eli Gold, Tim Kirchin tomorrow.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Now, look, you've got to give Jack Ham some credit here, Sean. He now understands how the show works. Because I literally got off the phone.
Broke it down to him?
No, he says to me, you've got to go back on the air. I know it. Literally, as the music started. I mean, now you cannot put a price on that. I mean, now that's a broadcast partner.
That's right.
Right? All right. We'll get to this day in sports history shortly, but I want to bring in a guy that's put together an outstanding career, three-time first-team All-Patriot League selection in his career, and a guy that was second-team stats FCS All-American at one point in his career. That's Julian Davenport. Julian, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, let's start with this. When you found out you had an opportunity at the Senior Bowl, what ran through your mind?
I was just truly honored. It was a great honor to be invited amongst just all the best players in the country to compete and be a part of the Senior Bowl and all this great tradition. So I accepted it immediately, and I can't wait to get out there.
Yeah, I can't wait to get you down there as well. Not only that, but NFL coaches are the coaching staffs for this game. When you found that out, what did that mean to you?
Definitely means that I got to bring my A game, which I do, and I look forward to doing every rep of every practice that I have all the way up into the draft to show them what I got so they can see that, hey, this kid from Bucknell is no joke.
Well, the kid from Bucknell is no joke, and we know that. What did your Bucknell experience? Tell me about your Bucknell experience, what it meant to you and what the coaching staff meant to you.
Just it meant a lot. Just a real inclusive environment. We all, pretty much on the football team, just confided in each other. And the coaching staff was just real helpful, especially my position coach, Darnell Stapleton, getting to pick his mind with him being a former NFL player as well. I just always would pick his mind to make sure that I'm doing everything right, and he would always hold me accountable to make sure everything I do is at a high level and to get everybody else around me to do the exact same.
When you get here, you're obviously, and you know, any kind of raw talent, but Bucknell really wanted you and Joe Susan really wanted you. In your development, where do you feel that you got better as an offensive lineman to get you to the point where you could be in the Senior Bowl?
Well, every year I was just continually just improving my game. I would make huge strides from even just the fall semester to the spring semester, and then from spring to the next fall, I just continued to make even more strides. And even when I think it was my sophomore year, when I got most improved player on the offensive side of the ball in our spring practices, even with me being one of the best players on the team, it showed that I was just continually working and just trying to perfect my craft.
You talk about perfecting your craft. Where did you get better? Footwork, arm extension, speed of the game? Where did you feel you made your greatest strides?
Definitely footwork and just knowledge of the game. Coach Stapleton made sure that all of us in our offensive line room was real knowledgeable of pretty much every position, not just your own, and basically understanding how the game works and how defenses try to scheme you out of things and just being able to predict things before they even come so you're in a good spot when it comes, and then you rely on your technique instead of your mind because you already know as everything just unfolds.
In high school, you were a pretty good basketball player. How did that help you with your footwork?
Definitely helped a lot. You know, basketball, you got to have great feet, especially down low in the post. And so, like I would say, like, just playing offensive tackle can kind of be closely related to playing defense, maybe in basketball. Just you're allowed to use your hand, punch people, keep people away from you, as opposed to basketball.
As your career went at Bucknell, was there a game for you where suddenly you felt like everything clicked in for you, and suddenly, wow, and then you really took off from there, where you just felt it all fell into place?
I don't know if there's a specific game. I just know I was competing from the first day I stepped on campus my freshman year. And my first collegiate game, I had to go against a defensive end who was highly recognizable and actually is in the NFL to this day with the Miami Dolphins. So that really, like, made me just realize that, yeah, like, this is the next level, and I'm going to have to step up my game and continue to work every day to get to where I need to be.
What kind of confidence did it give you that you were a starter from day one? Because you started 44 games at Bucknell.
Definitely great confidence. I knew my team had great confidence in me just through camp. They saw me play, and they know that I was just out there working hard and just helping everybody else around me. And the offensive line from, I guess, the recent years has really elevated from, like, me coming on campus, and not just me in particular, but just everybody's mindset kind of got a little more geared toward just being dominating and just becoming one of the best lines in the league.
What did it mean to you to play for Joe Susan in your career?
Means a lot. He's a great coach, a real good guy, and I know a lot of people love him. I know a lot of parents love him. He always has great motivation in his speeches and everything that he sets forth, and he always expects the best out of everybody, not only just on the field, but just in everyday life and in the classroom and all.
Julian, you're a political science major. What took you in that direction?
Political science, well, I really liked to really dive into international cases and international politics. So just doing political science helped me gain a little more knowledge of cases just around the world and see how politics is shaped around the world, not just in America.
What did it take for you at a really great academic school in Bucknell? What did it take for you to learn the time management needed to play football while also pursuing your degree?
You just got to know that time management is key, because you have all your football stuff and you have your school as well. So you have to definitely manage your time, like, effectively, and just be very responsible, because when you get to school, you're not with your parents anymore. It's all on you. So you have to definitely have that great responsibility and taking care of everything you need to take care of.
A lot of people may not realize you have a very interesting cousin. That's Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. Saw him in person the only year he played at Kentucky. I saw him and Anthony Davis together at the Mohegan Sun at a tournament that Penn State was in. Have you kept any kind of contact with him, Julian?
Not much in the recent years. I know he's busy, and he's in the NBA as well, and then I'm busy on my track, and I think he's been trying to, or I've been told he's been trying to get in contact with me throughout the season, but we just didn't get, weren't able to make that contact. So maybe in the near future we'll get to reconnect again.
I hope it does happen, because obviously he's been through the professional life, and then maybe, you know, along the way he can tell you, even though it's basketball, maybe a couple things along the way. Give me an idea, Julian, what your schedule is going to be over the next 10 days or so.
Over the next 10 days, so I fly out to Mobile, Alabama for the Senior Bowl Monday morning, and then I'm down there for the week, and I take partake in all the practices and activities that they'll have scheduled for us all the way up into the game, which is Saturday at 1:30. And then next Sunday, I'll fly back to where I'm training at in Atlanta. I'm training with GATA, the training facility out here in Duluth. And so I'll be back here and then pretty much training until the combine.
Well, a couple quick things for you. Number one, congratulations on a great career. Number two, I know you'll do extremely well down there because you have all the qualities they're looking for. That's why you're at the game. And number three, even though we're 9 days late, a belated happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. Greatly appreciate it.
All right. Julie, best of luck down there. You'll do really, really well. Thanks for your time.
No, thank you for having me.
Julian Davenport, without question, one of the finest that Bucknell has turned out, going to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. You'll be able to see him on NFL Network from Ladd People Stadium in Mobile, and that game will take place on Saturday, January 28th. We will come back with more in a moment. Wayne Larrabee next half hour. Mike Miller, final half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Every time we get a Bucknell athlete on, you know what you notice right away? How intelligent and articulate they are. They're comfortable in any setting. They do a great job of answering questions. And they're very thoughtful about it. When it came to the answer about political science, the suit was in the back room. I guess it became confused. That, which is good. It shows, again,
I go, what's it? What political science? What?
And we could put him on. We could put him on the air. He could argue with Lawrence.
Yeah.
I mean, really?
It wouldn't be for the Senior Bowl thing. He could be down at D.C. Friday for the inauguration. Could have been our correspondent.
Maybe we'll send McGranahan down to the Senior Bowl and Julian Davenport down to on the mark. I know Joe doesn't like when I make jokes about him. I'm just kidding, Joe. It's all just we're just
Joe. Joe would be down there looking. Okay, just point me to the direction of future Pittsburgh Steelers, and then we're good.
Exactly. The future Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay. Now I went through the quarterback thing yesterday. I'm telling you, I think the Steelers are going to win the game on Sunday. You're going to get the usual mumbo jumbo stats that actually mean nothing, but I'll point them out anyway.
I'm hearing more and more people say, well, I'm not going to pick the Steelers because I have to see it to believe it that they can finally beat the Patriots.
But teams change. So when you hear, for example, Brady, 15 touchdowns, no interceptions in Foxborough against the Steelers in the postseason, those aren't the same players. He's the same guy, but those aren't the same players.
Yeah, and how many of those touchdowns were to Gronk?
But things change. I mean, Roethlisberger has never played a postseason game. Has he ever? I don't think he's ever played a postseason game in Foxborough, has he? I don't think he has.
I think this is the first one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's never played a game there. The only area that really gives me, there are obviously two areas that give me pause about picking the Steelers, and that is, of course, the Brady factor. Because I mean, look, in the history of the game, you can argue he's one of the top five quarterbacks ever. Fair enough. Okay. And for some odd reason, the last 2 years, Roethlisberger has not played well on the road. I don't know why. I don't think anybody knows why. Because, I mean, this is a guy that took his team to the Super Bowl with nothing but road wins the year they beat Arizona, right? They had nothing but road wins that year, correct? They were the sixth seed. Does that sound right? This is your team. You should know this.
I know when they won.
When they beat Arizona, I don't think they had a home game. I think they had nothing but road wins that year. I think they were the sixth seed, right?
I thought that year they may have had a home game either with the Jets or the Ravens, I thought.
I mean, when the Packers beat the Steelers, they had nothing but road games. They were the sixth seed.
Right.
Whoops.
Right.
Oh, whoops. So it's happened to them.
Now, 05-06, yeah, they were road warriors that year. They were the first six to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And win on the road, yes.
Oh, that's when Ben was a game manager.
That's true.
I mean, I'm not joking about that.
Oh, no,
I mean,
that's very true. That's not a knock on Ben, no.
Right, and they took 3.9 yards a carry, and they shoved him aside to put the 5.2-yard carry guy out there in Parker. What?
I set you up on that one, yeah.
You mean we can get more out of the running game? Yes, we can. Really? Like, we can actually score, like, long touchdowns. Really? We don't need to do 28 play drives? Really? All right, we'll try it that way. See how it goes. I'm just kidding. But when I look at the schedules are set up in the NFL. For example, the Steelers will get this year, in 2017, the Steelers will get what is called a first-place schedule. So the Steelers will play next year, guaranteed, Kansas City, Houston, and New England next year. It's guaranteed to go with, obviously, the six games they play within the division. So that's nine of their games right there. And they'll get another first-place team based on the NFC division they play. All right? Well, that's what the Patriots had this year. They had a first-place schedule. Well, it turns out their first-place schedule, because of the way it played out, exactly how taxed was their defense by their first-place schedule? Now, quarterback is not the be-all, end-all, but if you have a mediocre, I mean, is it any coincidence that Matt Ryan, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, and Tom Brady are the four quarterbacks in the conference championships? Four really good quarterbacks. It's no coincidence. It's no to me, it's no coincidence at all. It's very rare today. It still happens, but it's rare when you get a quarterback mismatch in the Super Bowl.
2008-09 Pittsburgh run to the Super Bowl, two home games with the Chargers and Ravens before taking on Arizona.
Okay. All right, so they were a high seed, but then they were a six seed the other time. All right.
Yes.
But he's won road games, that's my point.
Yes.
In the playoffs. But for whatever reason, right now, it's like, Ben, what are you doing on the road? Nobody knows. That's what gives me pause. But I'm telling you, the Patriots' road to get here, easier than when the Steelers had. The Steelers this year faced, at quarterback, Joe Flacco twice. Andy Dalton's good, not great, but twice. Now, I think Flacco's really good, twice. Andy Dalton, good, not great, twice. The Browns mess, twice. Okay? Then they faced Alex Smith twice. Tom Brady, they played him during the regular season at home. Scott Tolzien. All right. And then they faced Ryan Tannehill once, Matt Moore once, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Tyrod Taylor, Kirk Cousins, okay, Eli Manning, Dak Prescott, and Carson Wentz. Those are the quarterbacks the Steelers played this year. Listen to what the Patriots played this year. Tyrod Taylor, twice. Brock Osweiler, twice. Ryan Fitzpatrick, Bryce Petty. Ryan Tannehill, Matt Moore. Joe Flacco once. Landry Jones. Andy Dalton. Whatever the Browns threw out that day. Case Keenum, Colin Kaepernick, Carson Palmer, and then the one shining light, well, two of them, Flacco's one, but the other one is Russell Wilson. That's what the Patriots face this year at quarterback. Okay, where along the way do 75% of them blow you away? Again, the Steelers face Dak Prescott, Eli Manning, Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins, Joe Flacco twice, Andy Dalton's not bad, Tom Brady, heard of him, and of course Tolzien, and Alex Smith, not the greatest of all time, but really, really good, a pro's pro at quarterback, twice. The Patriots, you know, and of course they face Tannehill, and then they face Matt Moore. You know, they also face Tyrod Taylor, and they face Ryan Fitzpatrick. But the Patriots get Fitzpatrick, Petty, Matt Moore, Tannehill, Tyrod Taylor twice, Brock Osweiler twice, Case Keenum, Colin Kaepernick, Carson Palmer, Landry Jones, Flacco, Dalton, the Browns, and Russell Wilson. Which sounds like the easier path to get to this game? I mean, I want to have it be all, end all in one position, but I'm talking about in that league, the pivotal position. It's just my gut feeling. I think the Patriots are really good. I don't think, and here's the other one, that theory of, well, you know, the Patriots are dangerous. They played that mediocre game last week against Houston and won. They'll play much better this week. I think last week was more of a red flag than it was a motivator. I think that shows me that there are troubles in Mudville. A really good quarterback plays for Houston last week. The Patriots could have been had. Just my opinion. You're a Steeler fan, so it doesn't matter. You're already an emotional mess to begin with.
Prediction Friday.
Yeah, but you're an emotional mess.
I was last Sunday.
And the suit thinks Bettis is playing.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.